This podfic contains adult material of a sexual and graphic nature. Listener discretion is advised, and be mindful of the tags. Feel free to hop out of the back seat if that's not your thing. Dean won't hold it against you. More than likely, he or Sam or some other SBN character or any number of character combinations will be too busy holding other things against others to give it a second thought. If you've buckled up and are ready for the drive, please check your Bluetooth connections and/or plug in those headphones before the engine starts. By proceeding, you understand that idling in the Impala is not responsible for any embarrassment, cringe, or adverse consequences that may occur as a result of the listener failing to conduct these checks. Pine Sweat by Apple Crumbledore. Rating is explicit. No archive warnings apply. Category is male-male. Fandom is supernatural. Relationship, Dean Winchester / Sam Winchester. Character, Sam Winchester, Dean Winchester, Zachariah, supernatural, Castiel, supernatural. Additional tags, time travel, season, series 5, case fic, camping, pining, POV alternating, sharing a bed, Samulet, supernatural, angst, canon typical violence, angel fuckery, blood and injury, animal death, brief. Tense sex, sexual tension, masturbation, mild gore, trauma, early season. Desire, but worse. The younger Sam came back after setting 3 snare traps. Dean had set his watch alarm wrong, and they realized they hadn't eaten in half a day, so they passed around their quickly dwindling store of rations, and Dean made them drink 2 full bottles of water each without stopping. Young Dean was fuzzy with painkillers again, and young Sam was nervous and curt. It was smothering. Sam walked for 10 minutes out into the forest, found a curved rock structure to lean against, hip high, and jerked off. He pulled up his shirt and bit it between his teeth, half to keep it out of the way and half to keep his mouth occupied and quiet. His thoughts were shapeless, not real actions or positions. Dean's nails in his back. Dean's open mouth. He tried to think about women, his face between their legs, trembling thighs around his head. But then it was Dean's fingers spreading them open for him, Dean's hand on his head, the low rumble of his laugh. Sam stopped and gave a nervous look around. He was sweating in the column of his spine, dick still in his hand. He kept stroking and tried to steer his thoughts again. Sucking tits, the pillowy slick as he pushed inside her, any her. But, again, he didn't have the luxury of taking his time. So, Dean it was. Dean's back against his chest. Dean's hands on him. The weight of Dean's dick in his hand. The glide of his skin. The way Dean shuddered as he came. What his face must have looked like. What he might have said if Sam's hand hadn't been over his mouth. Panicked, desperate. Sammy. Sam came almost reluctantly into his own hand, his teeth bared in a grimace. Pathetic. He couldn't remember the last time he jerked off in the middle of the day, but these were extenuating circumstances for more reasons than one. He straightened his shirt, kicked dirt over his cum on the ground, and made his way back to camp. His heart was still beating hard, body still buzzing with pleasure. Breathe in for 4, out for 4. Stop thinking about your brother. The cabin appeared between the trees. He spotted Dean right away, standing over the bathtub, water splashing. He had his shirt off and his sunburnt shoulders shone in the sun as he scrubbed at some sodden fabric in the tub basin. The water was vaguely soapy, but not lathered. Behind him, the forgotten coals of their afternoon fire smoldered. Dean's eyes flicked up as Sam approached, then moved in a pattern Sam had started to notice. They met his eyes, slid down to his mouth, his chest, back up to his eyes, then away. Dean gave him a nod in greeting and Sam did the same, a lift of his chin. Sam had his hands in his pockets, which felt stupid, fake casual. "The kid's still sleeping?" he asked, for a stab at small talk. Dean kept his head down. He was scrubbing a t-shirt against itself between his fists, either his or his younger self's. They were both black. There were others in the tub, belonging to both Sam's by the look of it. Boxers. "Fever's not going down." Shit. Sam turned around and propped his hip against the tub. It was easier to have a normal conversation when he wasn't looking at him. "Have you been praying to Cass?"
"Nah, we didn't talk about it."
"Scrub. Splash.
You think it's a good idea?"
"I think it's the only idea we've got. He said it was a trap, so something's not right."
"You got any idea what that something is?"
"Nothing worth talking about." Sam tipped his head back and looked up at the sky. "Cass was a hard ass when we first met him. This'll be even worse. If he even shows."
But if Zachariah knows what's going on, maybe Cass does too.
"Wait, do you know if the Zachariah you talked to was the one from now? Or the one we know?" A long pause, more scrubbing. "It was the one we know," Dean said slowly.
"That's.
Angels could hop through time. They knew that. The angels' relationship with time was vast and complex, and if they could get the right Cass here, there was a chance he could send them back, or at the very least, tell them what was going on. It was their best bet from where Sam was standing. Sam said, "I'm going to try calling Cass. I'm as good as you. This one won't have a favorite yet."
"Hey."
He closed his eyes and crossed his arms. He tried to clear his mind, harder than it usually was, and focused on Cass, the idea of him, his shape. "Castiel, it's Sam and Dean Winchester. You don't know us yet, or we haven't met yet." He felt supremely stupid. It was like leaving a voicemail. "We think another angel, Zachariah, sent us here. We're supposed to be in the year 2009. We..." He stopped. Now it felt like a resume, but this Cass didn't know them. He had to give him a reason to show. "We play an important role in a war between heaven and hell. We need to get back to 2009. We don't know what's going on here, but we think we're in danger. Please come see us." Another pause. He frowned. "Amen." From behind him, Dean said,
"How's it going?"
Sam sighed. "I used to be good at this."
"It's different when you know the guy."
There was a wet slap as Dean laid a shirt over the edge of the tub.
"I'll give it a shot. We can both keep trying. He's a tough guy to get a hold of on a good day."
"No kidding." Sam stood up straight and turned around. Dean was wet up to his elbows and held Sam's white V-neck in his hands. His eyes went from Sam's eyes to his mouth, chest, eyes, and back down to the shirt. Sam opened his mouth, closed it. "One thing at a time."
"Did the kids wash up yet?"
"Nope. After."
Dean didn't look up, eyes still on his washing. It was awkward. Sam itched to say something, to ruin it or make it better, or shake him and shake him until he finally did something about it. Anything would be better than this. The feeling passed. Sam put it carefully away.
"I'll check on them."
He made it to the lip of the porch and hesitated when he heard the boys talking in hushed voices inside. Sammy said, "Man up. You know it helps you sleep." Dean, with an ugh noise. This is the polar opposite of man up. "Just shut up and nap. You're hurt." "I'm fine." Shuffling, then silence. Sam nudged the door open and peered in. His younger self was sitting up in the bed with his back against the wall, eyes closed, and Dean lay with his head in his lap, dozing or trying to. Sammy had his hand resting on Dean's head, the way you might lounge with an old dog. Except when Sam kept looking, he noticed the kid's thumb stroking over the shell of Dean's ear, over and over again.
Sam didn't know if it was uncomfortable or sweet. His barometer for that kind of thing had oscillated wildly since the beginning of their trip. And what was nostalgic before now felt tensely inappropriate. But he reminded himself, they'd always been way too close. That wasn't new. He shut the door without going inside. He leaned against one of the beams that held up the porch and watched Dean do laundry in the old tub, looked at his freckled shoulders and the curves of his arms, the softness to his belly that made Sam want to dig his fingers in this fucked-up new frontier of theirs. Sam chewed the inside of his cheek. He thought about going into the forest again, but decided to be more productive. Castiel, he tried. This is important. For you, not us. You're going to need us in the future. We can't die here. We need you. And you need us. Dean slapped another clean t-shirt against the side of the tub. Sam thought they should put up a clothesline. They might have brought rope. If you can't find us, if we're hidden, we're on the south side of the mountain near Oak Run, California, not far from the summit. It felt pathetic, but Sam was briefly tempted to stay at this dinky cabin in the middle of nowhere. Laundry drying in the breeze, Dean whittling next to a fire pit, rabbit drying on stakes like some homesteader pioneer movie. They could become weird, reclusive hermits. No responsibilities. No vessels. No holy war. It would be an easier life, if a little empty. Castiel. He thought again. No follow-up. Castiel. The angel Castiel. He caught the fluttery breeze that indicated an angel's appearance before he saw anyone. The shape of a person appeared in the corner of his eye, shadowed just off the far end of the porch, and he yelped in shock. The figure in front of him wasn't Castiel. She looked like the type of woman who might say yes to angelic possession. Not attractive nor unattractive, short, white, with shoulder-length straight hair, wearing a mousy button-up and slacks. As always, the look on her face betrayed her as an angel, perfectly placid and vaguely disapproving. Inhuman. Dean, Sam hissed. He kept his voice low to keep from waking the kids. Dean turned around. What? Oh, shit. The laundry went splat into the tub. That you, Cass? Sam felt stupid for not thinking of it. Of course he wouldn't be Jimmy Novak yet. Cass remained perfectly still, looking from Sam to Dean. Sam had his hands up like he was surrendering. It was a reflex. Dean pulled on his wet shirt, then crept closer in a similar way. As if at gunpoint. He stopped at the edge of the porch next to Sam. Cass said, "Why are you near this cabin?" Sam blinked. Not what he thought would be most relevant. What? When Cass offered no other context, he said, "Because it's here, and we've been hiking for 4 days. Why?" Cass took a step backwards. She, tipped her chin up and surveyed the cabin with her cold, dark eyes. They were miles away from Jimmy Novak's crystal blue. It is outside of time. It isn't real. It's not real? Cass took another look at the cabin, appraising, like a carpenter surveying a poorly made shelf with a disapproving eye. It has been placed here. It's not of this time or this space. It's not natural. She squinted and was suddenly much more Cass, nor human-made. Is it dangerous? Sam asked. No, it's unpleasant. That you can't feel its unpleasantness is also unpleasant. Cass turned around, face tipped skyward. I assume you can't feel the energy coming from the mountaintop. Sam's eyes whipped to Dean, and they shared an alarmed look. What kind of energy? Cass turned back to them slowly, frowning. You shouldn't be here. You're not of this time. You have no right giving angels orders. Sam held up his hands. We know. We know we shouldn't be here. We're trying to get home. We were sent here by... Do you know Zachariah? If Cass recognized the name, she didn't give it away. Why would an angel transport humans through time? It's complicated. Sam tried, desperately wanting to hand-wave past it. You'll find out in a few years. If time works how we think it does, you seeing us now should help in the future, with getting us back home. Hold up, what about the mountain? Dean cut in. What kind of energy are we talking about? You mean from the Mormon compound up top? That's where we're headed. Cass's eyes snapped to him. I would advise you against that. She looked up and back again, presumably in the direction they had to go. It isn't natural. It isn't for humans. Is it a demigod? Sam asked. Cass said nothing. Her eyes fell back on the brothers, cold and disapproving. You call me down here with vague threats of holy war, then expect me to help you. You tell me an angel sent you into the past, but no angel would interfere with human life in this way. Cass, Castiel, I don't take orders from humans, nor do my brothers and sisters, and I've been given no orders regarding you. But you came, Dean said quickly. Right? You thought we might. I came because of the massive outpouring of energy from this time and space, this irregularity of which you are a part. I did not come because you called. The clock was ticking down, Sam realized. Cass wasn't here because he knew them, and he wasn't there to help. They got lucky. They didn't have long. So fine, don't help us. But about the irregularity, you can tell we're not supposed to be here, right? Me and him? You can tell that sort of thing. You're not of this time. Cass said again. She looked over Sam's shoulder, squinting. You are also inside the cabin. Both of you. In separate instances. Sam caught a movement at the edge of his periphery and glanced back in time to see a blur in the crack of the cabin door. He couldn't tell which kid it was. Right, so you've got some idea of the passage of time and how things are supposed to go, if you can tell we're not supposed to be here. He was over-explaining. He could see himself losing Cass. We've got a hurt kid in there. It's him. He gestured at Dean. I don't know what you know or feel, but he's not supposed to die here, right? He lives longer. Cass's eyes stayed fixed on the door. She tipped her head and frowned. He dies, she said, placid, as Sam's heart leapt into his throat. But he also lives. It's incongruous. Sam's mind spun quickly. Dean had died. Was that what she could sense? Or was it a new death, here? So help him, Sam blurted out. Heal him. He's supposed to live. We know that. Dean Winchester, ask anyone. He tried to think of a way to ask without talking about disrupting the space-time continuum, but no matter how he spun it, he couldn't see Cass going for it. Maybe their Cass would, the one who was learning to tolerate, if not appreciate, humanity, and was disillusioned with heaven, but not the creature they were talking to now. Cass's vessel wasn't sweating, standing the way she was out in the sun. They never did. Sam, sweating even in the shade, envied that. Cass looked at the cabin again and tipped her chin quizzically, and in the space of a breath, she disappeared. Dean swore. Shit. Sam went towards him, unthinkingly, desperately coming up with explanations. It doesn't mean he's right. He said you live, too, so that means you don't die, right? But he dies from a fucking infection. We don't know that Cass meant here. If he was going to die here, wouldn't you already be dead or unmade or something? And you're still here. There was a creak from the door. Sam spun around to find his younger self standing in the doorway, pale and stricken, one hand on the frame. Who was that? His voice was nervous and thin. Dean dies? Why does she know that? Hey, we don't know that. Take it easy. Sam took a step towards him, hands out, and made his voice quiet. Don't tell him right now. We don't know he's... The younger Sam slapped his outstretched hand away. Fuck off. Either you tell us what's going on or...
Or what?
Dean snapped from behind them. Sam turned. Dean was tense, furious.
This isn't a democracy. You already fucked this up once, and we're the ones keeping you alive. You don't get a say.
Sammy screamed. I'm not gonna let him die.
I am him. He doesn't die.
That lady says he dies. Who was she? Where'd she go?
None of your business.
Dean jabbed a finger at him.
I'm not gonna waste my time fighting with a fucking kid, Sammy. Not even you. Sit down, shut up, and don't get yourself killed.
You sound like Dad. Sammy spat, managing to make Dad sound like a slur.
Dean just sneered at him. Yeah, well, Dad's right.
Sammy made a snarling, frustrated noise and shoved Dean hard, which didn't move him much. He stormed into the cabin.
You're such an asshole.
Some things don't change, Sam didn't say as he watched the kid go.
It was awkward to see himself fight with Dean. Upsetting to remember how awful it felt to slam his impotent rage up against his seemingly immutable older brother. It had been bad enough with 4 years difference between them, to say nothing of nearly 20. Dad's right, never lost its sting of betrayal. Sam had zoned out on the closed cabin door. When he turned, Dean was climbing the stairs down off the porch. Hey, Dean didn't even turn around.
Check on him. I'm going out.
Incredulous anger clawed up Sam's throat.
You're going out?
Dean snatched up the hatchet from where it was resting at the end of the porch.
Yeah, out.
What's your problem? We have to-
I said I'm going. Stay here.
Dean.
Dean trudged off into the trees like a fucking coward with his hatchet clutched at his side. Sam knew he could have caught up in a few strides. Grabbed the hatchet and brained him with it, or if nothing else, shouted at him some more. But he got stuck on the way Dean's damp shirt clung to his back, and it wiped his brain clean like a shaken etch-a-sketch. He was still mad, but it was fuzzy in his ears, like he was mad in another room. He wondered if this was what Dean went through, and how he ever got anything done if it was. Wanting Dean sunk into Sam's bones the way sweat soaked into the collar of his shirt. Warm and sick and spreading. Dean disappeared farther into the forest until his black shirt was like a distant smudge of soot or a dark, horrible pit, and Sam watched him go. Sam didn't go into the house. He couldn't hear the boys inside and sat sweating on the porch, wondering if they were laying in bed together, mumbling to each other, nervous and quiet and doomed. Maybe Sammy was cleaning Dean's wounds again, trying to pretend he didn't notice that they were getting worse, like he always did when Dean was hurt back then. Sam sat on the edge of the porch, hunched over with his elbows on his knees and his head in his hands. He could hear the distant thunk of Dean's hatchet. He hadn't gone far. Sam's hair had dried quickly after his bath, and it was still oily, but not as bad as it had been. He wished he had a hair tie to keep it back in the heat. Another thunk from Dean's hatchet, somewhere. Sam didn't know which was true. If Dean couldn't die here because he hadn't died in the future, or if this was some alternate timeline. They didn't even know if it was real. The younger Dean's wounds stunk last time Sam was in the cabin, and he was feverish and sick. Their memories weren't being rewritten. Sam could still picture that first run when he closed his eyes, the heat rash on the backs of his hands, Dean's shitty shelters and mounting panic. So it was possible that the younger Sam and Dean's fates weren't tied to theirs, whatever that meant. Maybe the younger Dean could die here, not that they knew what that would mean. Thunk. Sam squeezed his eyes shut. His jaw hurt from clenching his teeth. If Cass wouldn't help, they didn't have many other options. Could a demigod cause the kind of energy outpouring that Cass was talking about, or was it something else?
What if it wasn't Cass on the walkie-talkie earlier? And why hadn't they heard from him since? Why wasn't this cabin real? What were they doing here?
Thunk.
Things with Dean were worse than they'd been before. They weren't a united front. They couldn't even talk. This thing would kill them if they let it. The only thing worse than touching your brother was not touching your brother. They couldn't afford to have it weighing on them on top of everything else.
Thunk.
Sam rocked onto his feet and stood. He was heading into the forest before he could think about it, numb and terrified. The sun was there and gone across his shoulders as he moved through the trees toward Dean's sound. The brief hotness of it so strong, it was like a hand on his back. He made out Dean's shape through the trees, peachy pink skin and black shirt and blue jeans, the arc of his hatchet swing. Dean was hacking up a big, dead tree that lay on the ground, with one foot up on the trunk. He lifted the hatchet all the way over his head with each swing with a fanatical fervor.
Here's Johnny.
Sam stopped a few yards away and leaned his shoulder against a tree for some play at relaxation, and he shoved his hands in his pockets, even though they were swollen and hot. Dean had to have heard him, but he didn't stop chopping at the tree. Sam watched, waited, tried to stop clenching his teeth. Dean kept chopping. He wasn't great at it. He needed an axe, not a hatchet. And he wasn't hacking in at the side so it could snap in the middle. He was creating a kind of ineffective trench in the center of the trunk. Not correcting him made Sam's head hurt. Dean's shirt was drying in the sun over his shoulders, but stayed wet farther down. It clung to his lower back as he swung and exposed a strip of skin. Sam swallowed loudly. He couldn't keep standing there. We don't need more wood. He said it mid-swing, and Dean's arms wobbled, only for a second. As soon as the hatchet struck, he heaved it overhead and did it again. He said,
"We can have a fire when it's dark."
"We should go before then."
"What does it matter?"
Sam squinted at the back of Dean's head. "The people in that commune? The demigod? Come on." More swings, harder and more frantic than before. He grunted quietly with the effort of it.
"You said it yourself. We,
swing,
thunk, don't know the timeline. What's an extra night?"
"Why are you so okay with taking that risk? The cabin's not even real, which means something made it. Maybe for us, specifically. And Cass said there's a trap. You don't think?"
"It's a fucking cabin, Sam. Four walls and a roof. If you want to check the perimeter for trap doors and spike pits, be my guest. But I'm tired."
Swing,
thunk. Mini-me's side is swelling up like a balloon, and Mini-you is ready to gank us.
"I'm sure you're plenty relaxed after your little spa day, but I've been out here." Another swing, a weak one, and a tandem grunt.
"Whatever. Leave me alone."
It was a misstep, awkward and fumbled, the way Dean said it. "Your little spa day." It didn't matter that Sam took a bath. Dean shouldn't have been mad. But it meant he was still thinking about it. And that was off. Telling. Dean just kept attacking the stubborn trunk. Ironic, Sam thought, that he'd be doing something so cartoonishly masculine as chopping wood during the conversation they were about to have. "Can you stop that?" Zero hesitation from Dean.
"Nope."
Sam watched, eyebrows tilted, and brought his hand up to his mouth again. He didn't have any nail left to chew. They were all freshly bitten, sore and raw. Some awful, childish part of him still had the knee-jerk thought. "If I just tell Dean, he can fix it." Like this twisted desire with some flat tire Dean could replace, or a schoolyard bully he could beat into submission. Sam hadn't depended on him like that for a long time, if ever, but something about this whole thing made him feel small. It was embarrassing, and he couldn't stand it. He couldn't wait for Dean to give up. "It never went away, did it?" His voice sounded hollow and far away in his own ears.
Dean didn't catch himself fast enough, and Sam saw him flinch at the words. His hatchet bounced off the trunk. Dean finally went still. He jabbed the cutting edge of the hatchet into the trunk and left it there, still holding the handle, and stared down at it. Sam waited. Fear made his heart race, tripled by the fact that he couldn't remember the last time he was scared of Dean. It felt ridiculous. It was Dean, and Dean had no right getting him so worked up. Dean, of bottle rockets and popsicles and sleazy winks, onion rings in the same three dad rock albums, greasy and loud and needy and stubborn, was now also this. Broad shoulders, parted lips, hands Sam wanted to, anything at this point. He wanted to hold Dean down. He wanted to put his ear to his chest and hear the rasp of his breathing and make him lay with his head in his lap so he could trace the shell of his ear with his fingers like he did when they were kids, because it was Dean. He didn't know what to call it. He wasn't sure there were words for it, probably for good reason. He couldn't stand the silence. His heartbeat was so loud in his ears that he wasn't sure he could hear anything else anyway. "Do you just live like this?" he asked. "All the time?" Dean ducked his head, just briefly. He recovered and yanked the hatchet out of the tree, but he still didn't look at Sam. "Am I supposed to know what we're talking about?" He lifted the hatchet again. "Don't," Sam snapped. "Don't fuck with me. We're past that." Somehow, Dean stopped. He didn't turn around, but he didn't keep chopping. "Fine," he bit out. "Then you don't know what we're talking about." "Why? Because I haven't been hiding it from you for 13 years? Dean didn't answer right away. When he spoke, his voice was newly quiet, cowed. "It's not like that." "Then tell me what it's like." Sam took a wary step towards him, unsteady in the underbrush. "Look at me, at least." It took him a second, but Dean slowly turned around. He looked horrible, sweaty, his green eyes panicky and tense. Sam could see his jaw ticking. Sam waited for him to go first, to tell him, but a handful of seconds passed, and then another, and he wasn't moving, wasn't speaking, and Sam ran out of rope. He took a deep breath. I feel like I'm watching this thing, happen between us." Dean slapped a hand over his face. "Oh, God. And I don't know how to stop it or fix it, but I know it's not going away just because you want it to." "Sure it is. Watch this." He took a big step over a fallen log and tried to stomp past Sam, back towards the cabin. He made it two steps before Sam's hand shot out and grabbed his arm. "Don't keep running." Sam tightened the grip on his arm, slick with sweat. "I don't like it either, but we're gonna get ourselves killed like this. We're in danger, and I haven't even been thinking about it. Not really, because I've been thinking about you. Distracted. You've got to talk to me." Against his better judgment, he let Dean go. Dean, somehow, didn't leave. He rubbed his arm where Sam's hand had been and stood there glaring at him, mouth pressed thin and obstinate. Sam wiped a nervous hand on his jeans. "Fine, then listen." Sam took another deep breath, and then it all came out in a rush. "If you're pissed at me because of what I did this morning, and you didn't want me to, and that's why you're not talking, I'm sorry, but we can't just—" Dean cut him off. "I'm not talking because there's nothing to say. You were messed up on fuck juice. You, whatever. We've both done a hell of a lot worse. I'm not mad." Dean, getting him to put his hand over his mouth. Dean, blowing his load after 60 seconds of hand job like some kid. Staring at him wet and naked in that sunny clearing. That stuff didn't go away. "You were a little more than not mad," Sam said carefully. Dean sighed noisily, frustrated. What part of not talking about this don't you get? I'm giving you an out. Take it. Can I go now?
Dean was so tense. He wouldn't look right at Sam, and his hands kept moving, touching his face, wiping sweat.
Sam stepped in, ducking his head to put it closer to Dean's.
So, what? You're saying it's affecting me, but not you?
I don't know.
And if it were affecting me, why would I jerk you off? And despite the fact that we know it isn't, you think it's making me do this stuff?
Sam,
Dean barked. Just shut up, all right? I'm not talking about it. Let it go, for once in your fucking life.
He tried to storm off again. Again, Sam grabbed him, this time by the shoulder, his fingers digging in.
Dean yanked his arm back and stumbled, swinging around as he spat some choked-off curse.
He took a step back and Sam followed, fisted his hand in Dean's sleeve, and pulled.
I don't know why I want it, okay? Sam's voice was shaking. We don't have to know. I know it's not.
Dean's hand covered his and tried to pry him off his shirt, nails clawing at his fingers.
I don't care. We're not. You're not. End of story. Let go. I'm not.
You can't just
fuck Sam. I'm begging you. Shut up. Now.
Dean's voice was broken and desperate again. The air was fucking crackling between them, and Sam couldn't take it. It was the closest they'd been all day, and his mouth was dry and wanting, and he didn't have anything left to keep himself at bay. He wanted to make Dean snap, see sparks, do the stupid thing for no reason other than wanting it. Sam brought his other hand up and shoved him, and Dean fell back and hit a coniferous tree as wide as his shoulders. Sam got right up in his space, standing between his feet, breathing the same breath, except Dean wasn't breathing. Dean held his breath and stopped trying to get Sam's hand off him. His hands flew out in nervous claws that were very conspicuously not touching Sam. Sam uncurled the hand in Dean's shirt until it cupped his shoulder, force just shy of threatening. Sam's face was too close to his to see any more than a blur of eyelash and eyebrow with a few inches between their height, his mouth near Dean's cheekbone. He ran the backs of his knuckles down Dean's stomach and dragged them through his still wet shirt. Dean let him. Sam could feel his heartbeat, the summer heat of him, the solidity of his muscles. There was another real, human body right up against his, and it was the only body he knew as well as his own. Probably better. So, if I do this, you're gonna stop me?
Sam's voice didn't sound like him. Before he could talk himself out of it, he started slipping Dean's belt free, tugging it through the buckle with numb fingers. Dean had started breathing again, loud, and tipped his chin down to watch. Dean was, miraculously, not stopping him. Sam said, "Come on, stop me." Dean's mouth worked around nothing for a second. He wet his lips. His hands hovered over Sam's, empty. Sam hooked his fingers in the waist of Dean's jeans once he got his belt open.
You don't want to talk about it?
Fine. Sam ran his thumbnail along the button of Dean's jeans.
Say no, and I'll stop.
He rested his head next to Dean's on the tree, close enough that his hair brushed Dean's face. His heart was going a mile a minute, terror bitter in the back of his throat. Explosive adrenaline and everything it took to stop his hands from shaking. This was Dean, awake and conscious and standing, and letting him. It was different. Sam wasn't half as certain as he sounded.
If I don't want it, and you don't want it, we'd better not.
He got Dean's jeans open. He slid his zipper down, tooth by excruciating tooth.
Right?
Dean was already getting hard. Sam could feel the shape of his dick under his knuckles. He brushed against it as he pulled Dean's fly down. Sam was hard too, had been hard the whole time. He felt Dean tense up. Sam knew he was either about to get his nose broken or... Dean grabbed him by his shoulders, spun him around in a dizzying blur of tangled feet, and slammed him back against the tree. The air left his lungs in a rush. Dean's palms slapped against his cheeks and held him so hard it hurt, crushing him. Fingers dug into his hair. Sam grabbed Dean's arms to wrench them down, bracing for a fight. But Dean didn't claw in or swing. He just held him. Sam brought their foreheads together. Dean was breathing hard and choppy now, all adrenaline, and Sam held onto his arms. They swayed unintentionally. "It's okay," Sam said, fast, swallowing thickly. "Hey, it's okay." He slid a hand up Dean's arm to his shoulder and pulled him in, closer, so they were pressed together all the way down. Dean's body was burning hot. "It's okay," Sam said again, more to himself. He ran his nose along Dean's, not thinking, mouth open as they breathed into each other. Dean's thumbs dug into his cheeks hard enough to hurt. Sam thought about this morning. How was it only this morning? Mouthing at the back of Dean's neck. It was like that, but worse. His toes curled in his boots. Dean's thigh was right between his, and it was agony. "It's okay," Sam said, his voice cracking, and gave Dean's arms a shake between them. "I mean it." All at once, Dean let go. Sam's hands came up again, grab him if he tried to run, hit him if he tried to fight. But Dean only fumbled with Sam's belt, and then with his jeans. Sam got a head rush so dizzying his knees went weak. He breathed. "Yeah." So quiet it was barely a sound, and Dean dropped to his knees. Sam sucked in a nervous breath. Dean mashed his face into Sam's lower belly and pressed an open-mouth kiss right above his bush, teeth scraping flat against his taut skin. Dean's hands dragged Sam's jeans and boxers down his thighs, nails leaving marks in their wake. He gripped Sam's bare thighs and made a low, anguished sound and rolled his face against Sam's belly. Sam fisted his hands in Dean's shirt over his shoulders just to hold on to something. "Dean." Dean was breathing hard like he was hyperventilating, and Sam's dick was against his neck and cheek, iron hard and there. So close, the anticipation of it was like jumping off a fucking cliff, and Sam couldn't think, couldn't move. Dean spent a few more seconds crushed against Sam's stomach before he leaned back, fisted Sam's dick, and took it in his mouth. Sam tipped his head back and screwed his eyes shut. He couldn't stand to look down. He wouldn't survive. Pleasure so sharp and sudden, he wanted to cry. Perfect. Shattering. Dean's mouth was warm and wet, and he couldn't take all of him, but he tried, and it was enough. And, Jesus Christ, it was Dean. Ruby hadn't given much head. She just wanted to get fucked, and Sam had been more than happy to work with that. But he missed the luxurious indulgence of it. There was nothing like it. His jeans fell down around his thighs as Dean worked. Sam figured out how to breathe, carefully measured and shaky. There was a faint, wet sucking sound, and Sam whispered, "Shh," not thinking, too soft. They weren't far enough from the cabin to get away with much noise. Dean used his hand on what he couldn't fit in his mouth, and his hand was so big, his grip was perfect. The bobbing pulse of his mouth and the way he moved his tongue, eager and sloppy. Sam knew Dean had done it before and he could picture it. Bar bathrooms across the country with Dean on his knees and Sam probably waiting oblivious back at their table. He wondered if Dean ever came out with flushed cheeks and mussed hair and he never noticed. Maybe Dean wanted him to notice. Maybe Sam had gotten a beer from some bartender who just came down Dean's throat and the thought shouldn't have gotten him so hot, but it did. He wanted to hold Dean's face to feel his jaw move as he took Sam deeper, but he couldn't make himself do it. It was too much, too familiar. A pulse of heat rolled through him, sweat on his upper lip, in the pit of his throat.
He couldn't remember the last time he had sex, the actual last time, and it felt so good his hands shook. Dean's hair might have been long enough to grab on top, but Sam still couldn't do it. Dean's mouth was so soft inside and eager, hungry, more than he ever thought possible. Sam's brain went blank, needy and numb with disbelief, and the shock that there was one more insane thing Dean was willing to do for him. Dean, taking care of him again, making all this sick shit in his brain go crazy. Perfect wet pressure and the pill we give of his soft palate. Sam brushed his hand against the side of Dean's head. He couldn't help it. He ran his thumb over the soft spot behind Dean's ear, dug his fingers around the curve of his skull, and felt him move. He pushed his hips up without meaning to, and Dean's throat convulsed around him in a gag. Sam had to shove his wrist in his mouth to keep quiet. Dean groaned, and Sam felt it in his bones. Dean pulled off the curlous tongue around the crown of Sam's dick and kissed it wetly, and Sam's hand flew to his shoulder and dug into the curve of muscle there, pulling his shirt. Dean took him back down and sucked, twisted his wrist on the upstroke and brought his mouth down to meet it, spit sucking over and over again until Sam couldn't take it. He covered his face with his hand and curled in and came so hard and sharp with nothing but a single, shaky intake of breath, emptying into his brother's mouth, endless. He thought Dean would swallow, but he didn't. He gagged on it with an ugly, wet sound and spat into the dirt. He kept jerking Sam through it, and it was loose and distracted, but it was good, better than good. So draining, Sam's knees gave out, and he braced his back against a tree. His fingers ached as he loosened his grip on Dean's shoulder. His whole body was throbbing. He opened his eyes, blinking up at the sun as the forest swam into view. He remembered and looked nervously towards the cabin, barely visible through the trees. No movement. Dean was still on his knees. He was doing up his jeans, and there was cum on the ground between his legs, drippy white clinging to blades of grass. It wasn't Sam's. That was to his left, where it had been spat. Sam raised his eyebrows and stared and felt vague regret that he missed it, then immediately felt weird about it, as if that was the weirdest part about what they'd done. Hey, I'll come in my brother's mouth, but I draw the line at watching him jerk off to it. Sam didn't know what he'd been imagining before. Some messy bump and grind like a couple of repressed kids, or at most, another handjob. Getting blown somehow wasn't in the realm of possibility. He scraped together enough brain cells to remember to put his dick away. His hands were clumsy as he pulled up his jeans and boxers and smoothed his shirt down. It was soaked under the arms. It was also, he remembered, with a stab of humiliation, John's USMC shirt. Jesus. Dean struggled to stand, pushing up on his knees. Sam, not sure what else to do, offered him a hand. It was ignored, but his shirt wasn't. In a flick of Dean's eyes and a briefly horrified expression. Dean stood up and Sam's heart was rabbiting out of control, lost, a dog chasing his tail with no idea what to do when he caught it. Dean was red in the face and clearly panicking just as bad as he was, grim and awkward and wide-eyed. Don't freak out, Sam said all at once, way too close to saying, sorry, to scratch the car. Dean was already freaking out. Sam was freaking out. He was no better. He didn't know if he wanted to grab him or run, but no matter what he did, it was the end of their previous lives and the start of something new. You couldn't uncome in someone's mouth. Dean's voice was rough, used. Shouldn't have. No, Sam said quickly. No, it was. Dean had cum on his upper lip, smeared. Sam's thoughts stopped short, and his mouth flooded with spit. He didn't think. He reached out and cupped the side of Dean's face, ignoring his sharp inhale. Dean's skin was tacky hot under his palm, and he swiped his thumb over Dean's lip. It pulled back as he did it, showing teeth, which made a stab of fresh, hot arousal flare in Sam's gut, and wiped him clean. Keeping his eyes on Dean's, he brought his thumb to his own mouth and sucked the cum off it.
Dean's pupils were huge, watching. Sam rubbed his tongue over the pad of his thumb, tingy with salt and dirt, and let it go with a quiet pop. He breathed out, shaky, and reached for Dean again. His fingers just brushed his neck when there was a scream from the cabin.
Dean!
They both jolted like they'd been shocked and spun around, already moving into a run. There was something biologically terrifying about a child's scream. Two figures came into view by the porch, Sammy's big white t-shirt and something else. The two of them burst into the clearing, Sam first with Dean on his heels. Cass's new, old vessel stood near the steps to the porch. Her dour face turned slowly towards them.
Hey,
Sam said, out of breath and disoriented. He thought to smooth his hair down and check for bark, too late, but his younger self was staring only at the angel. He hoped he and Dean had disappeared into the forest together often enough before this, to argue and whatever else, that the boys wouldn't think anything of it. You're back. Cass narrowed her eyes. It was the only movement on her face. I was asked to return by my superiors. Her gaze slid to the cabin. I am to heal the boy. Dean caught up and walked in stride. What's the catch? Cass tipped her head to the side. Sam clarified. What do you want in return? Nothing, Cass said. Only the natural progression of time. Sam sighed and breathed a little easier. Great, thank you. He's inside. Do not thank me. It's an order, Cass said testily. She climbed the steps and opened the rotted door easily. Sam met his younger self on the porch and returned his worried look with a smile. She is a friend from our time. They can heal him. He ushered Sammy inside, then paused and looked back at Dean. He was standing at the foot of the porch with his hands in his pockets, looking guilty. No surprise there. Sam had no idea what to call the thing he felt when he looked at Dean, terrified and horrified, but also excited in a way he didn't want to think too much about. Not unlike the time they broke into an outdoor pool when he was a kid, his skinny body in the blue glow of the deck lights, watching Dean and some neighbor girl in their long, bare legs under the water, in over his head and vaguely pleased about it. We'll talk later, he said, keeping his voice low. Dean grimaced. That a threat? The cabin reeked, stuffy and hot and sickly. Cass moved easily in the dark up to the bed where the younger Dean lay on his back, with his arm over his face, only half awake. The wound on his side was hideous, and the bandage around his forearm had soaked yellow through it. He slid his arm up over his head, blinked his bleary eyes at Cass, and frowned. Who the fuck is this chick? Cass said nothing. She reached out, dodging the inexpertly swatted arm of a sick kid, and placed her hand on Dean's forehead. In the space between one heartbeat and the next, the wound on his side was gone like it had never been there, even as the sweet smell of its rot still hung in the room. His color was better, his skin bright. His eyes flew open and he popped up on his elbows, touching a hand to the spot on his side that, Sam could only imagine, had instantly stopped hurting. What? Another slap to his side as he twisted his arm out of the way to look down at it. What? How'd you? Cass turned around and fixed her dark eyes on the Sam and Dean hovering by the door, as the younger Sam bolted to the bed and joined his brother's excited babbling. Sam thought again of how far this Cass was from the Cass they knew, not in appearance, but mannerisms. She lacked the tiny movements that Cass was learning in order to appear human, the fidgetiness of life on Earth. Cass was, still and once again, the first angel to speak to humans. Cass said, "The emission of energy from the top of the mountain hasn't ceased. It's much like this cabin. Something has been artificed. I can't tell you what." Dean asked, "Can't or won't?" "Can't. It's been recently warded." "Recently?" "Yes, in the space of my absence on Earth.
She looked back at the kids on the bed, both of whom had gone still and stared back at her, listening. I've been asked to return if you die again. Do not waste my time by dying again. Wait. Sam stepped closer. We're not done. Are you going to help us? Can you send us back? Now or once we... Cass turned around. I was not asked to move you through time. What? But what about... She was gone. The boys on the bed unraveled Dean's bandages with the glee of unwrapping presents on Christmas morning, revealing the smooth, new skin underneath.